Praise the Lord, everyone. I'm glad to be here. Amen. I thank God for this opportunity. So thankful that we serve the living God. You know, He is a solid rock and we can stand on His promises. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You again for this opportunity. I thank You, Lord, that we could gather in Your name. I thank You for Your word that speaks to our souls. Oh, God, I thank You that You've called us, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, You have helped us to see the light. Oh, God, the word is not strange to us. But we can take it, we can embrace it, we can hold it dear, Lord. Oh, God, for it feeds our souls and shows us the way to eternal life. And, God, I pray that You'd help us. Oh, God, as we gather here together, oh, Lord, over distances and everything else. But, oh, God, You know how to minister to each and every one. Oh, God, You know how to give us what we have need of as individuals. I pray that Your presence would, oh, make a move in our lives, that You'd change us, that You'd help us, that You'd turn us, oh, God, into what we need to be in Thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, as we walk this earth, I pray, oh, God, that You give us the strength, the energy, oh, God, the faith to go forward, to do what You would have us to do, Lord. Oh, God, let the devil be rebuked. Oh, God, let every setback be rebuked in the name of Jesus. I pray that You teach us how, oh, God, to go forward and to take it even by force. Oh, God, You know how to help us, Lord, and I pray that You'd help us. Help each and every individual, Lord. Oh, God, those that are sick, oh, God, You know how to raise them up, Lord. Oh, God, You know, oh, God, how to move in a mighty way, Lord Jesus. And I pray, oh, God, that Your presence would come down and fill our souls and flood our souls. Oh, God, lift us up into heavenly places with You, Lord. Oh, God, let Your word nourish and feed us, oh, Lord, for we need You. Oh, God, we know not the time of Thy coming, but, oh, Lord, we know it is at hand. And I pray that You would work, Lord. Oh, God, that You'd deliver, that You'd have Your way, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, help my sister Sharon, Lord. Oh, God, touch her, Lord, and heal her completely, Lord. Help Leslie, God. Oh, Lord, we do bring them before Thee. And us that, oh, Lord, You would touch them afresh. And, oh, God, heal their bodies, Lord. Oh, God, You know how to make a way, Lord, in these petitions that we bring before Thee. Oh, God, Thou knowest how to do it. We thank You in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Oh, God, move here tonight. I pray that You give me the words, oh, God, the scripture, Lord, the inspiration, Lord. Oh, God, use this, Lord, for Your people's sake, for our heart's sake, Lord. Oh, God, that, oh, Lord, we might be able to stand in the evil day, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so good, and I'm so thankful that we can serve Him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I know we've been talking about faith quite a bit, and, you know, I just, God does amazing things. You just never quite know how God is working and how He inspires, you know. It was so amazing. I was set to teach my youth night on Saturday, and I didn't realize that my daughter, Vicki Beth, was sick, and therefore they wouldn't be able to attend. And anyway, they had left me a message, but in the meantime, I didn't get it. And anyway, it was so amazing because the lesson that I prepared for the children was some of the material that Samuel brought forth on Sunday, and I thought that was quite remarkable, you know. And the worksheet that I had prepared for them, I think Brother Samuel covered some of that, and I think, you know, they can do that without having had that lesson on Saturday. But, you know, God is amazing. And there is nothing too hard for Him. We serve the mighty God, and He is so good to us. He is so capable. He is so able. And praise the Lord, you know. He knows how to give us strength. He knows how to give us faith. He knows how to enable us. He knows how to help us to do the things that He has put in our heart so that we can accomplish those things that He has designed for us to do as individuals to fulfill His will in our lives. Oh, praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, we're going to go into some scripture here tonight. Praise the Lord, and I pray that it will inspire with the Lord's help, that the Lord will lead us here as we minister in His word. Praise God. But let's begin here, and you know, we're going to call this message, By the Many or By the Few. And, you know, here, just start here. Just going to say that God doesn't need big numbers in order to accomplish His will, His plan, His mission. But He is looking for people with faith, people with boldness, people that will go forth with faith and do those things that He has put within us to do. A people that do not despair or give up. Praise the Lord. And oh my, a people that will be faithful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, just turning here briefly to Deuteronomy. Just want to bring forth a scripture here. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Looking here at verses 6 and 7. It says here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And of course, He's speaking to His first covenant people, and you know, that was His desire, that they would be His own special people, people that were His, you know, His peculiar treasure, and holy people. In other words, they would be separated from the world, because that word holy means separated. And He went on to say in verse 7, The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. And oh my, the fewest of all people. You know how it began? It was by God calling one man. Praise the Lord. We see that in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. When the Lord said unto Abram, this is Genesis 12, verse 1, He said, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And then He said, And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And you know that simple call. It was a call of separation. Abram, who became Abraham, you know, was to leave that which was familiar. He was to get out of his country. Oh, the place where he had lived, from his kindred, from his father's house, and go by faith. And walk with the Lord into a land that God would show him. And yes, there was a promise that was connected with that. And praise the Lord, you know, we know that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Praise the Lord. But he was promised that God was going to take of one man and make of him a great nation and bless him and make his name great and oh yes, make that a blessing. Blessing those that would bless him and cursing those that cursed him. And then I like that last line there in that third verse. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Oh, praise the Lord. Initially, Jesus came forth out of that line. Praise the Lord. And all the seed that Jesus Christ brought forth, oh, is a spiritual seed, a people that he redeemed by his blood. Praise the Lord, a people that are called forth out of the world into the kingdom of God to go forth and do the will of God. Oh, praise the Lord. That's you and I. Thank the Lord. But oh, yes, God had laid it out. And oh, yes, he had determined it. And praise the Lord, you know, he took that one man and blessed him in such a way that all from him would come a great people, oh, as the sands of the sea and as the stars of heaven. And praise the Lord, from that would come the Savior, Jesus Christ, and a people that God would call forth to walk with him, to leave their backgrounds, to leave their traditions, to leave anything that God despised and walk with him. The calling is the same, to be a holy, separated people, a people that God can treasure, a people that God loves, a people that go forth and do his will. Amen. Oh, yes. You know, that is such a privilege. But oh, yes. It's a wonderful calling, isn't it? Oh, that the Lord has called forth. And yes, a people that God considers as his own peculiar treasure. In fact, it tells us in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verses 9 and 10, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And praise the Lord, Peter is talking to Gentiles. Praise the Lord, he says in verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that's a wonderful calling. Amen. But oh, yes, he called us out of the world. And, you know, if we could read a couple more verses here in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, it says in verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Oh, yeah, we're going to have to war against all the elements of the world, the flesh. Oh, yes, and all the things that try to allure us and tempt us. Oh, seeking to destroy our soul, that war against the soul. But it says in verse 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. God meant for his people, his called out ones, his church, his ecclesia. Oh, yes, to be a light in this world so that we could shine forth. And that the evildoers could see that there's something in us that's different. They could tell by our words, our conduct, our conversation, oh yeah, our works. That, oh yes, we are different. We're not of the world. We're as strangers and pilgrims in this world. They're not going to understand us, but oh my, if we have the Holy Ghost with the light of Jesus Christ. Oh, it knows how to shine forth in our life if we're allowing it to shine forth, not hiding it under a bushel basket, no, but oh, letting God work in us and do his will through us so that those that are without may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. I would pray that there would be those that not only, oh yes, would see it in the day of visitation, but it would turn their hearts over to God. And it, you know, that day of visitation, that can be twofold at least. You know, when God calls us, when he knocks at our heart's door. Oh man, that's the day of visitation. Praise the Lord. And of course, there's the day of visitation when he comes to this world. And oh, it's over. But oh, I pray that there would be many that yet would be called out of this world and into that marvelous light. Oh yes, so that they too could be that chosen generation, that royal priesthood, that holy nation, that peculiar people. Oh yes, called forth to show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, praise the Lord, the light of the Lord that shines in us. Thank the Lord for that. Oh, praise the Lord. But you know, God called initially Abraham, whose name was Abram at that moment. And you know, what a marvel. You know, he didn't need a whole group of people. He didn't need hundreds or thousands of people before he could begin his nation, his people. No, he used one man and his wife Sarah. And it tells us in Isaiah 51, just to read a couple verses here, it says in this wonderful chapter, Isaiah 51, it says in verse 1, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him." Oh, praise the Lord, one man. Oh, yes, but God does not need numbers in order to accomplish his plan. No, he is a people, and he calls us one by one as individuals into his glorious kingdom. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, such as it is, you know, in Isaiah 66, it is written, "But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word." Oh, that's the individual he's looking for. One that will humble himself or herself and, oh, and submit to Almighty God. Oh, turning one's life over to the living God, repenting of one's sin. Oh, yes, obeying the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, submitting to God and being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. But, oh, yes, that call that comes forth. Praise the Lord. And, yes, not because we were many, but, oh, yes, because God saw fit to call us as an individual. Oh, to show us the light so that we could see and understand and not walk in the darkness anymore. Praise the Lord. No, praise the Lord. Because of that, we can go forth and do the will of God. Oh, no matter if it's if one or for two or for three or four. Oh, 100 or 1,000. Praise the Lord. Oh, God is not in the number game. Except that, oh my, he has a people that he has called forth. And oh yes, when those are complete, when the congregation is complete, he's going to put in the sickle and reap this earth. Amen. It's going to be over when his family is complete, his sons and his daughters. But oh, in the meantime, it may seem like we're not many. You know, but oh my, you can just hear Jesus as he said, "Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Thank the Lord. He knows how to use us, even though we might be all alone or just a few or a couple of us. Praise the Lord. He knows how to use us. Oh, yes, because every individual counts in the eyes of God, and he has a plan for each and every one of us. Amen. Praise the Lord, our God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to go to 1 Samuel now, the 13th and 14th chapters, and This is quite an amazing account here that the Lord laid on my heart. I've been thinking in this direction for a while, but oh, praise the Lord. I pray that this will inspire us as we look at these two chapters in 1 Samuel. Amen. Praise the Lord, because I believe there is a great deal of inspiration here. Especially, you know, we're in such times as these. We don't know what tomorrow may hold, not that we ever did, but praise the Lord, these are perilous times. And oh, we are seeing so many things come upon the face of the earth that could easily cause people to fear and tremble. But praise the Lord, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. Oh, but the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. We don't have to walk in fear. Praise the Lord. We can go forth and believe God and rest on his promises. That knowledge that he's with us. That it's all in his hands. He knows how to keep us. He knows how to use us. Oh, yes, he knows how to make a way for us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's see what happened here in 1 Samuel 13 and 14. Oh, praise the Lord. As we look at chapter 13 here, we realize that Saul has been king for 2 years. First of all, he reigned 1 year, and then we're coming to his second year as this chapter begins. And it tells us that he had chosen 3,000 men of Israel, you know, to be his military base, and tells us that 2,000 were with Saul in Mishmash and in Mount Bethel, and then there were 1,000 with his son Jonathan in Gibeah, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. So that was his backup. That was his military. And so anyway, we come into the time that was at that moment, and it tells us that Jonathan, and oh, we find Jonathan to be a man of faith, and that's all going to come out tonight, the faith that was in this son, Jonathan, who was also very dear to David, who became king of Israel, David the shepherd boy at the first. But the third verse here in 1 Samuel 13 tells us that Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. And oh my, so, you know, there in this military camp, you know, Jonathan went forth and he smote those Philistines that were in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. Oh my. And Saul made a big deal of it. And so Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land with this announcement. Let the Hebrews hear. And he wanted all of Israel to know what had happened. But, you know, he didn't tell it quite right. Oh, my. Saul had some problems. He started out strong, but it seems like it didn't take him very long to show another side, and that wasn't very good. But here already, in the second year of his reign, you know, we're already hearing, you know, Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines in Geba, but, you know, and when it was heard, Saul blows the trumpet, and it's heard all throughout Israel that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines. And oh my, and that Israel also had an abomination with the Philistines. In other words, you know, he had done such a feat that now they trembled, you could say, you know, when they thought of Saul and you know, his accomplishments. But, you know, this wasn't quite true, you know. It wasn't Saul that had smitten the garrison of the Philistines. It was Jonathan. So I would say this is a lie. And then I would say, you know, the fact that, you know, he made it known that, you know, he was had an abomination with the Philistines. In other words, you know, oh, man, you know, they had to take note and, you know, they would tremble at his presence. And yet the Israelites, well, I think that was an exaggeration. Then it tells us, You know, I mean, you know, that announcement went throughout Israel, the land of Israel. So the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal, it tells us in that fourth verse. So, oh boy, this has aroused the Philistines, you could say. And now, boy, they're going to gather themselves together. And they're going to show their might. And, you know, this is something because all this boasting soon came to an end. Because here in verse 5, the Philistines gather themselves together to fight with Israel. And here they're showing their strength. You know, 30,000 chariots. That's a whole bunch. That's quite a fleet. And 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand, which is on the seashore, in multitude. In other words, it seemed like there were so many of them that it was very hard to count. And here they come. They're showing their force now. You know, oh boy, you know, they had been smitten in Geba, but now, you know, and maybe they heard what Saul had boasted of. Well, now they're going to show who they really are. So they came up and they pitched in Michmash, which was eastward from Beth Haven. And, oh my, this put another light on the subject. You know, the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait. In other words, in trouble. You know, like a straight passage, or it also can indicate that they were in trouble. And I think that's the case in the sixth verse. And tells us, you know, oh man, here's this big group of people, and they have chariots, and they have horsemen. I mean, Israel didn't have chariots, and they didn't have horsemen, and, you know, so many of them all at once. You know, oh man, that boasting is put to flight, and the people are very distressed, and they don't have confidence in Saul, obviously, his leadership and his ability to take them forward and defeat the Philistines. So anyway, they were distressed. And it tells us in the sixth verse that they begin to hide themselves. And oh, they were looking for any place to hide, in caves and thickets and rocks, in high places and in pits. I mean, fear had overcome them, and they were afraid now. Oh, my. And the Philistines, yes, they were showing their might, their power, and coming forth. And, oh, men of Israel were afraid. And some of them, they wanted to relocate, it tells us in the seventh verse. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. And so, in other words, they went over the Jordan where, you know, they figured it'd be a lot safer, that it could be protected. Oh, get out of here, you know, Philistines are coming. So, anyway, here's a problem, yes. And it tells us, as for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Oh, man, everybody's afraid. Like I said, Saul has not shown strength, and they don't have confidence in his leadership. So all these things, they're either hiding or relocating, and those that follow him are scared. They're afraid. They're trembling. And in the meantime, we have a situation. Obviously, you know, Saul is not in a good way, and he sees what is happening, and you know, Samuel the prophet, and we don't have all the info here to know how this was all put together, but obviously, you know, Samuel was going to come and offer up a burnt offering on his behalf and, you know, petition the Lord, I would say. And there had been an arrangement, and, you know, Saul was waiting for Samuel to come, but, you know, he's 7 days passed, and Samuel had not yet come to Gilgal. And, you know, Saul is in trouble. People are scattered from him, and he doesn't know what to think. And, you know, there's people that are hiding, and those that have disappeared over Jordan, and, you know, over the Jordan River on the other side. And you know, oh, man, what to think. Well, it didn't seem like Samuel was coming. So Saul decided he'd take things in his own hands. And you know what? Sometimes this is a problem. Sometimes what happens is people get ahead of God. God has a plan, and sometimes, you know, it doesn't happen, you know, when you think it should. So, you know, you get a little bit apprehensive, perhaps, and you just think, oh, it's never going to happen. I just got to go ahead and do what I want to do or think I should do. And that's what Saul did. He got ahead of God. He made a huge mistake, though, and he decided to do something that he was not allowed to do. He decided that he himself would offer a burnt offering to God in peace offerings and not wait for Samuel, who had the authority to do it. Oh, no, that wasn't Saul's place to do the work of the priesthood. But he went ahead and impulsively did it. Got ahead of God, I would say. And as soon as that was over, he had done those things, behold, there came Samuel. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him or salute him. And you know, Samuel can already tell. I mean, you know, I believe God had already let Samuel know that all was not well. And Saul had gone forth and done what he never should have done. And so Samuel comes to the scene and says to Saul, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, his excuse is he had to come up with something now, didn't he? "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Mishmash. Therefore," said I, "the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made my supplication unto the Lord." So he said, "I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering." Oh dear. Oh my, there are some things that are forbidden that must not be done. There's a manner that is appropriate and right. And Saul had rushed ahead of that and done something which was forbidden of him to do. Samuel said to Saul in verse 13, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded." Well, there can be terrible consequences to not obeying God. Oh, yes, to going forth on your own thinking and doing what you want to do and coming against the Word of God and not applying it properly and making an assumption and going forth and doing it. Oh, that's what Saul had done. But there were consequences. Oh, yes, the kingdom would not continue under Saul at all. It was going to be taken from him. God had already determined that he was going to give it to a man after his own heart, because Saul had not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Oh, how we want to pass the tests of this world. Oh, yes, you know, there are things that may seem confusing, but you know what? We've got to hold to God's word. We can't take it and interpret it our own way, just to, you know, pursue a certain thought or desire of the heart. We have to listen to what God has told us to do. We have to follow his word. You know, we may not understand it always. We may think another way, but then hasn't it been said that God's ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts? You know, we just know sometimes, and very often actually, God, you know, he knows beyond. Well, he always does. And he knows what is right, what is appropriate, you know, what, you know, is to be done in order to fulfill his will. We don't want to rush ahead and do things our own way. rebel against God and oh my, end up in a big mess, even possibly losing our own soul because we didn't listen, we didn't obey, we misinterpreted the scripture, we deliberately did things our own way. We don't want to do that, do we? No, we've got to listen to the voice of God that speaks to our soul. We want to be right with God. Oh my, these are perilous times. It's going to come one of these moments. Besides, we never know when our life is going to end. And oh my, what would it profit us if we would gain the whole world and lose our own soul? What can a man give in exchange for a soul? But anyway, here it was Saul. And he hadn't even been king that long. But, Samuel proclaimed that message. And, oh my, then tells us in verse 15, "And Samuel arose and gat him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. And then it tells us in verse 16, "And Saul and Jonathan his son and the people that were present with them abode in Gibeah of Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped in Michmash." So here it is, they're not very many in number here, 600 men, and you got this problem. You got Saul and his son Jonathan, and the people that are present with them, they're in Gibeah, but there's this big encampment of the Philistines, and it's at Michmash, and oh my, it's quite the group. And besides, there's another thing that's going on. Verse 17 tells us about the spoilage that's going on. It says, "And the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned unto the way that leadeth to Ophrah, unto the land of Shuah. And another company turned the way to Beth Horon. And another company turned to the way of the border that looked to the valley of Zeboim toward the wilderness." And so here they split into three different companies, the Philistines, that is. In the meantime, they're coming in to the regions of the Hebrews, of the Israelites, and spoiling them, taking their goods, plundering them, and doing, what they can. So there's further disturbances as the Philistines take advantage of the Hebrews at this point. And then there's another disadvantage that's brought out in verse 19. It says, "Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears." So all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share, or plowshare is what it's referring to, and his coulter, which is the blade that is in front of a plow, and his axe, and his mattock. And a mattock is like a hoe, some kind of tool that is used to loosen the soil. But anyway, they had to depend upon the Philistines to sharpen their tools. Talk about a disadvantage. That's their enemy. And yet, they don't have the devices to do it themselves. Except it tells us in verse 21, "Yet they had a file for the mattocks, and for the coulters, and for the forks, and for the axes, and to sharpen the golds." But then it tells us, "So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan his son was there found." So in other words, they had only two spears or swords, which only Saul and Jonathan had. So talk about disadvantages. They don't have the weaponry that is needed. You know, they don't have the means to sharpen their tools. And, you know, the Philistines are coming in and taking advantage of them. They're plundering and spoiling them. And, you know, besides, there's so many more of them. And, yes, we talked about their chariots and their horsemen and all this and that. So it says in verse 23 here in that 13th chapter of 1 Samuel, and the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. So that's the state of the Union at that point. And it's not very good, is it? It's pretty shaky, I would say. Like I said, you know, Israel is very distressed, in a very great strait, in much trouble. They have these problems. They're very outnumbered. They're being spoiled and plundered, the looting and everything else. Many of them are now in hiding wherever they can hide, or they've even gone over the Jordan to find more safety and protection, hopefully. And with Saul, his military might is only 600 men. Oh my, not so good, is it? But we come to chapter 14. And despite these great disadvantages, we're going to now learn of somebody that went forth with faith. You know, oh my, it is you know, Jesus talked about how the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And I believe that is talking about the people of God. Oh, we might be tremendously outnumbered. And, you know, the world might look at us with pity. You know, we are not usually very prominent or well known as the children of God. But praise the Lord. The Lord puts faith within his people. And oh, yes, they that know their God are able to go forth by faith, knowing that there is a God in heaven who knows how to sustain us, how to help us, how to give us victory over every foe, over every sickness, over every financial woe. Praise the Lord, we serve a mighty God, and he is not limited. And he doesn't need a great fleet of people to defeat the enemy. No, he knows how to save by the many or by the few. Amen. And praise the Lord, here in this 14th chapter, we're going to read of a man. We've already read of him. He's the son of Saul, but he's not like his dad, his father. Jonathan shows great strengths, and he certainly is going to show faith in this reading that we're going to do here in chapter 14. Now let's listen to this. This is so inspiring. Oh, I think it illustrates how the violent take it by force. Oh my, going forth with our little, and oh, believe in God for those things that are not seen. You know, trusting in the Lord. Oh yes, and seeing the victory ahead in the name of Jesus. By the power of God, amen. Praise the Lord, but here it is. It tells us in verse 1, "Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, Come, and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he told not his father. Okay, so it's like, an inspiration. You know, the battle's been going very slow. I mean, you know, it's not going at all. There's no action. You know, the men are trembling. They're afraid and everything else. And here's two fellas. Jonathan, the son of Saul, and a young man that bears his armor. And together, the two of them are going to go forth into the camp of the Philistines and you know, just see what they can do. They're going to have faith. They're going to take faith. They're going to go forth and you know, believe God. And this is amazing. It tells us Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is at Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And then it tells us in verse 3, and Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. So it indicates that among the 600 approximately that were with Saul, there was also Ahiah, who was who came from Eli and of the priest class, and he had the ephod, so that, you know, that was used to ask of God certain questions that they needed to know. But so, anyway, this is, you know, there's Saul there back in that part. In fact, it says the uttermost part of Gibeah, so he's gone to the very far extremity of that area of Gibeah, and here he's under a pomegranate tree, and you know, the priest Ahiah is with him, it indicates. But here's Jonathan on a mission. He didn't tell his father, but this is, you know, what faith will do. It tells us in verse 4, and between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozes, and the name of the other, Sina. And, okay, so here it is. There's these sharp rocks. I mean, you know, this could not be an easy feat. You know, he's got to do some climbing. He's got to get up these sharp rocks. One on one side and one on the other side. And it tells us the forefront of the one was situate northward over Mishmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. So one, you know, where the Philistines were camping, and the other over against Gibeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. So, you know, where Saul was and the Israelites. But here they are. They're going to do this. They're going to climb. Oh, yes, to get to this place where the Philistines were camping. Oh, is this daring? Is this an adventure? It tells us in verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the faith that was in Jonathan's heart. And oh, I thank God, you know, this young man who bare his armor was a man of faith too, I would say. Because that armor bearer in verse 7 says unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to the heart. To thy heart, praise the Lord. So here's two men, full of faith. They're going to do this daring thing, you know, to see what God will do. Because there is a realization in Jonathan's heart. God doesn't need a great multitude to perform his work. You know? He's just looking for somebody with faith, somebody that will believe him and, you know, trust in God. And he had that realizing, you know, if we do this, who knows what God will do? You know, yes, we know God sees faith. God looks for faith. And so here they are. They're going to come and they're going to climb over into this garrison where these uncircumcised Philistines are, and oh my, they're going to just see what can be done by faith. And so it is, the armor bearer tells him to do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Just two of them, two men with faith to go forth and see what God will do through what they do, what they begin to do. Verse 8 tells us, then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. So this is a plan, and it's very bold. Praise the Lord. You know, Jonathan is determined. In verse 9 he says, if they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. So yes, he had this determination, and you know, we're going to make ourselves obvious. We're going to show ourselves to the Philistines, and if they say, you know, they're going to see us. You know, we're going to be in plain sight. But if they say, you know, well, tarry until we come to you, then, you know, we won't do anything. We'll just stand still in our place and we'll not go up unto them. But if those uncircumcised Philistines, you know, say, come up unto us, then we're going to come up. Because we know that that's the Lord, you know, putting it within, that, you know, he's going to work for us. He's going to fight for us. That battle is the Lord's, and he's going to fight for us. He's going to deliver us from their hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. So they did it. Verse 11 tells us, and both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. Oh my, I mean, they knew that the people were hiding, they were afraid. Oh man, you know, they had been taking advantage of them in every way they could. And all at once, here's two of them, and oh, well, the thought that comes to their minds, the Philistines, that is that, you know, here's the Hebrews, oh my, now, something's happened. They've come out of their holes where they had hid themselves. And, you know, the assumption, obviously, that there were many of them. Oh, now, yeah, they're, you know, popping up, you know, to make themselves known. It tells us in verse 12, and the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. Oh, praise the Lord. That was exactly the signal that he was waiting for. And yes, like he had determined, if they say, come up to us and we will show you a thing, that was the signal that they would go up and the Lord would do a work. They would do what they could do, the two of them, and the Lord would do the rest. Oh, praise the Lord. I think that's wonderful. You know, sometimes it may seem that we as an individual or just a few cannot do very much. But oh my, our God knows how to take our little and stretch it and make it big. Oh, to accomplish what God has determined must be done. Oh, he looks for people who have faith, who have determination. Oh, who have boldness to go and stand against the enemy. And make them, make the will of God known. Praise the Lord. And so it is. It wasn't an easy feat, you know, that they were going to do here. Verse 13 tells us, and Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. So here they come up. Oh, they had to climb up this rocky crag and get to the top, or wherever the Philistines were encamped. And oh, Jonathan first, and his armor bearer after him. And oh my, they use what they have in their hands, what little it might have seemed. And just the two of them, oh yes, they fell before Jonathan. And then his armor bearer slew after him. Oh, it was an amazing thing, just the two of them. Two men that had faith, two men that had courage, two men that trusted in the Lord. Look what they did. And it tells us in verse 14, and that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men, within, as it were, an half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. So that kind of a stretch, you know, a half acre of land, as it's described, which typically a yoke of oxen would plow. That, you know, that length. He, Jonathan, and his armor bearer were able to bring down 20 men. And oh my, God began to work. Oh, what faith will do if we could just have faith. Come on, we've just begun, have we not? Oh my, there's so much more to do. And we know that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. But why do we fear? Why do we tremble? Oh my, do we hinder the will of God at times? Oh my, maybe even to draw back, which God has no pleasure in by any means. But here's two men that went forth to do the will of God. And oh yes, there was a slaughter of about 20 men. But then, oh my, God made himself known. It tells us in verse 15, and there was a trembling in the host in the field, and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. Oh, God began to work. Oh, yes, and he made the earth to tremble. And oh, he put fear in that camp of the Philistine army. And oh, yes, oh, boy, they began to sense that God was working. And oh, yes, they were not at an advantage. Oh, praise the Lord. And all of this became very apparent. You've got Saul down in Gibeah, and, you know, the watchmen who would watch to see what was going on. And obviously, even though, you know, Jonathan and his armor bearer must have been at quite a height, you know, the watchmen began to notice something was happening. Something was happening among that host of Philistine army. Something was happening there in that garrison. He tells us in verse 16, and the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away. They're talking about the Philistines there. You know, all at once, something's happening. You know, they're melting away. And they went on beating down one another. They began to fight one another. You know, my, it's, you know, still know that Jonathan is gone. And all at once, something's happening. And Saul, you know, said to the people that were with him, well, now let's number ourselves to see. Somebody's gone. Something's happening. And lo and behold, you know, they did so. Verse 17 tells us, then said Saul unto the people that were gone with him, number now and see who is gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. Oh my, they're not there. And then, you know, Saul, I've got to figure out what's going on. And he says to Ahiah, the priest here, and Saul said unto Ahiah, bring hither the ark of God. For the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. Go get the ark so we can figure this out. But in the meantime, oh my, something else happens. He tells us in verse 19, and it came to pass, while Saul talked unto the priest, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased, And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand. Oh my, it became so noisy. Oh, they're fighting one another, you know, and there's quite the noise. You can just imagine as all this was happening, there was a great noise, and all at once, you know, Saul tells Ahiah to, oh, come on, no, don't worry about the ark of God at this point. No, withdraw thy hand from whatever all was about to happen there in the camp of the Israelites. And all at once, oh yes, they assembled themselves and they came to the battle. And this is what they saw. Verse 20 tells us, and Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves and they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a very great discomfiture. Oh my, those Philistines were being beat up. They were using their sword against their own fellow. Oh, those of them, of the Philistines, they were, you know, they were bringing them down. They were using their swords, which, you know, were very limited as far as the Israelites were concerned. Oh my, so the battle was raging. And the Philistines were killing themselves. Amazing here. And then so the news spread. It says, moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. You know, there's something about faith. When God begins to move, oh, praise the Lord, it can become very contagious. So when the Lord begins to move and stir hearts and people, oh, see what faith can do. Amen. When hearts are stirred, the revival fires begin to burn. And oh my, you can see what happens when people will begin to pray and trust the Lord and go forward. Be a witness, be a light in this world. Oh my, so much can happen. And those that, you know, had been so afraid before and frightened and in hiding and all this and that, oh my, they all came. They all wanted to get involved now. Hey, something's happening. Oh my, there's a mighty work of God that is going forth. It tells us in verse 22, likewise, all the men of Israel, which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. Oh, those that had been afraid and frightened and hiding, are in hiding. Oh my, they come forth to join the battle. Oh my, what faith will do. Two men. Come on, nothing was happening. They were so frightened and afraid and you know, how so close to being defeated by the enemy. But oh my, two men. Jonathan and his armor bearer dared to believe God, dared to go forward, dared to do something that would seem outrageous. Oh yes, an example of how the violent take it by force. Oh, when we can believe God. Oh, when faith begins to take action. Come on. Oh, the violent take it by force. You know, we've got to believe God. We've got to put faith. Oh, God knows to action. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Oh, God looks for faith. Oh, they showed their faith. You know, there were ways that those that came to Jesus expressed it, how it was apparent. And if it was necessary in times of old, isn't it necessary right now? Oh, Jesus has asked, when the Son of Man cometh, you know, shall we find faith on the earth? Oh, how we need the Lord, how we need faith. It tells us in verse 23, and this is where I'll stop in this passage. It says, So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over into Bethaven. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. What faith can do. We serve such a mighty God, a God who is not limited. Oh, my. He can save by the many or by the few. But he's looking for individuals that will go forth with faith. Oh, yes, being inspired, because, you know, God knows how to put it in our hearts. Sometimes we get to these places, or, you know, these circumstances where, you know, it's so confused and it's so bewildering and you know, we don't know what to do. Oh, my, but God can take the most complicated of situations and unravel it. Oh, yes, and do what needs to be accomplished. Oh, there is nothing too hard for our God. Oh, praise the Lord. We serve the mighty God. And oh, how he is looking for Jonathan's and the armor bearer who just dared to go forth. Even though the night might be dark and the circumstances perilous, very shaky, very uncertain, everything going wrong, not enough money to pay for anything or whatever, all too sick to stand. Oh my, God knows how to use us despite what it might appear that the enemy has been trying to do. Oh, yes, God is looking for faith. He's looking for people that will believe him. Oh, praise the Lord. A people that, oh, yes, take it by force. Praise the Lord, who believe God against odds, against confusion, against trouble. Oh, unknowns of all kinds, perils of all kinds. Oh, yes, the violent take it by force. And praise the Lord, our God knows how to bring forth his will by the many or by the few. He's looking for somebody who would just dare to believe him, step aside and you know, do the thing that others would maybe never dream of doing. We see what happened when Jonathan and his armor bearer went forth to do the work of God. Oh my, to do what nobody else was doing. You know, they could have sat down there under the pomegranate tree and, you know, just waited for some kind of miracle. But instead, they decided they were going to do what they could do and just believe that if they did their little, that God would do the rest. And look how God honored that. Oh, how he changed the circumstances. And oh, praise the Lord, how God began to shake everything up. Oh, praise the Lord, what was beyond what the two could do, God did the rest. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we'll just do our little part, God is able to finish it, to complete it, you know, to do what is beyond us. And besides, he can give us a strength that we don't have in ourselves. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we serve the mighty God. And oh, he is not limited. Praise the Lord. But oh, how he's looking for a people that will show faith, that will go forth, that do exploits, even in such a time as this. Oh, such a time as we live in right now. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Turning now to Romans, the 8th chapter. Looking here at verse 31. It says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And then, oh yes, these other questions. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And then it says in verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Despite every event in this world, all the negatives, all the things that seem to be going wrong, praise the Lord, there is a strength in God that he can give us. Oh, when we show faith, praise the Lord. And with his strength and with his help through faith, oh, praise the Lord, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. We know that if God be for us, there is none that can be against us. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, because we serve the mighty God. And oh, he knows how to work by the many or by the few. Oh my, whether we be big or small, that doesn't matter to God. No, he's looking for somebody, oh, that will have faith, that will go forth and believe in his promises and stand on those promises. Praise the Lord. And take it by force. Praise the Lord. That's believing God, standing on his word, a boldness like, oh, the prophets of old showed. Oh, yes. Oh, Elijah, Elisha, all of them. Oh, how they stood by faith and declared things because they knew they served the mighty God who was not limited. Oh, who could fight our battles? Oh, like Jonathan and his armor bearer that dared to go forth and do an exploit that seemed impossible and even foolish. They did it because they had faith. They believed in God and they knew that, oh, God doesn't need, you know, a great many in order to accomplish his will. No, he can do it by the few, even by two. Oh, praise the Lord, our God is not restricted. He's just looking for people who have faith and who will believe him and stand on his promises. Oh, praise the Lord. He can deliver by the many or by the few. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We serve the mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's have faith. Let's go forward. Let's believe God. Oh, praise the Lord. We serve a mighty God, and he is not limited. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he has done in the past, he can do yet today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to open our melodies of praise hymnals to number 210 and sing Victory Ahead, number 210.
Thank you.
When the host of Israel, led by God, round the walls of Jericho softly trod, trusting in the Lord, they felt the conqueror's tread. By faith they saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead, through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. David with a shepherd's sling and five stones met the giant on the field all alone. Trusting in the Lord, he knew what God had said. By faith he saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead, through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Daniel prayed unto the Lord thrice each day, then unto the lion's den led the way. Trusting in the Lord, he did not fear or dread. By faith he saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead, through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Often with the carnal mind I was tried, asking for deliverance, oft I cried. Trusting in the Lord, I reckoned I was dead. By faith I saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead, through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. When like those who've gone before to that land, by death's river cold and dark I shall stand. Trusting in the Lord, I will not fear or dread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead, through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead, through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Thank you.
Thank you.